Have you ever had one of those text messages? You've sent one and you wished you never had. You wish you could take it back. That's the kind of thing about text messaging that bugs me. Once you push send, you can't take it back. It's out there. Well, let me tell you a little story about Jane and her friend Angie. Jane was going to get married, and her friend Angie decided to send Jane and her fiancé a text message wishing the happy couple well. So here is Angie about to send her message. She's so excited. She has such a great idea because the Lord brought to her mind a verse that she wanted to share with her friend. And that is that there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. What a wonderful message for her friend just before getting married. Well, in her desire to keep the text short and to the point, Angie decided to just simply include the scripture reference, 1 John 4:18. Unfortunately, in her haste, she omitted the one before John. And so what happened was, instead of sending John's first letter, she ended up sending a scripture reference of the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verse 18. Now, upon receiving the text, Jane excitedly looked up the passage of scripture, which read, "For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." And here's a picture of Jane receiving the message. Whoops. That little story will make sense as we get into 1 John 4, including verse 18. This morning, we're going to continue in our sermon series titled Assurance, That You May Know. Again, it's our journey through the book of 1 John. And last week, we encountered the assurance of God's love. Let's remember this. Love comes from where? From God. And God is love, and Jesus is the perfect expression of God's love. You want to see what real love looks like? You look into the face of Jesus. The assurance of God's love. And when God's love shows up, we can be assured that things happen. If you remember last week, we concluded with a discussion about the power of God's love. Remember Huey Lewis? Oh, that's the power of love, right? There is power that is in the love of God. There's power that's released from and in the love of God. And God's love is powerful and it changes things. God's love changes people. And everyone said, amen, bring on the love of God, right? We're ready for that. You see, when we're walking and embracing the assurance of God's love, we find ourselves running into another assurance. And that is the assurance of love's effect. There's an effect to the love of God. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. 1 John 4:11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. We have the assurance that love has an effect on us. And it's a big effect, and it's a good effect. And this assurance begins with effect number one. The first effect that we discover here in our passage of Scripture this morning is that we have a new nature. God's love has such an effect on us that it changes our very nature. Why? Because we're told right here, God lives in us. It's a miracle, but we're told right here, God actually lives in us, and God's love is made complete in us. We get to experience the completeness of God's love, and God's love makes us completely new. God lives in us, and His love has such an effect on us that we are made completely new. You see, when we're born again in Christ, something supernatural and complete happens. There's this aspect of the divine nature, and it's the love of God that actually becomes part of who we are. Let me say that again. There's an aspect of God's divine nature that actually becomes part of who we are. You could say it this way, that God's love becomes infused in us. God's love becomes part of our DNA. Let me explain that to you, and I may shock you a little bit, but you know, I like to think about all the what ifs of God because we're still seeing through a glass dimly. A lot of people want to say, I got it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. I'm like everybody else. We're seeing through a glass dimly, and we're getting to go from glory to glory as we discover more of God. And as I think about God's love completely changing us and giving us a new nature and actually impacting our DNA, I think it's beyond just God's love actually becoming part of our spiritual DNA. I think it's God's love also affects our mind part of our DNA, our emotion part of our DNA. I believe God's love is so powerful that it actually affects our physical DNA. It affects our physical DNA. That's the power of God's love. So let me show you a picture of what I'm talking about here. Let's show this up on the screen. Whoa! It's the Hulk! All right. You're going to just hang with me here, all right? Hang with me. So here's what I was thinking about this week as I'm encountering this whole new nature that we have because of God's love, right? I'm reminded of the Hulk. The Hulk started with a guy named Bruce Banner. He was a physicist, this super smart scientist guy, right? And so he's doing an experiment, and it involved a bomb. He was a little too close to the bomb, though, when it exploded. And what happened was gamma rays were emitted from the bomb. You're asking, Eric, how do you know this? Because I watched the Hulk growing up, okay? So these gamma rays were emitted from the bomb. Bruce Banner was too close, and those gamma rays became part of him. They infused his body, and this was the result. It changed his very nature. It changed his DNA to the point where he could turn into this thing called the Hulk. Big, mean, and green, the Hulk. All right. I told you this was going to make sense. Let's get back to verse 12 here, 1 John 4:12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. His love. He lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. When we are born again in Christ, we are infused with a new love. It's the love of God that completely changes us, completely changes our very nature. But look, instead of becoming mean and green like the Hulk, God's divine love, His agape love. Aren't you glad we don't become mean and green? That would be kind of awkward, right? We're already thought as kind of peculiar people as Christians, right? That would be really peculiar. Anyway, we don't become mean and green. God's agape love, His real love, God's love actually transforms us. And we find ourselves even loving other people, which was impossible without the love of God. We all know that. Been there, done that. Also been on the receiving side of it, right? You know what I'm saying, right? I mean, that's the power of God's love. God's love actually explodes, and we start to bulk up in His love. We start to hulk up on God's love. And that's what God has for us. He's ready for His church. Go back to that picture of the Hulk. He's ready for His church to look like this, figuratively speaking, of course. This is what he's designed for His church, to be so infused, filled with His love that, I mean, we're bulked up, we're hulked up on the love of God, and we're ready to do some serious, serious kingdom stuff. But here's the deal. It's the love of God, as we're hulked up and bulked on it, we don't go destroy things. We go rescue things, save things, and we love people. We love, love, love people. So effect number one, we have a new nature. And that new nature is love. It's love. And this reality of the new nature of love actually takes us to the next level, and it displays effect number two. And that is that in addition to a new nature, we have new fruit. We have new fruit, meaning that we discover that love changes us. It's our new DNA, and we think differently, we act differently, we behave differently, and we treat others differently too. So again, let's go back to verse 11. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Because we've been infused with the love of God, because we have this new nature because of God's love, we actually now are compelled, we're driven, and we're even empowered to love other people. We've been bulked up, hulked up on the love of God for that purpose, to love one another. Love becomes our new fruit, becomes our new way of life. It's just what comes out of us. It's who we are. It's our new behavior. In fact, it's our display of love towards others that actually provides the evidence that we've been truly made into new creations. in Christ, that we've taken on the nature of God. It's our love for others that displays the reality that that's actually happened. Again, verse 12 now. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and His love is made complete in us. This kind of effect of God's love, it's found later on in the same chapter. Chapter 4, verse 19, where John again says, we love, you and I love. Why do we love? Because God first loved us. So the love of God, shown toward us, then received by us, empowers us to love others, and that becomes the new fruit, the new behavior, the new way of life that we walk in as the people of God, and it's real. It's a cause and effect reality. You know, there's a lot of cause and effect in the Bible that we see. If you do this, then this is going to happen. It's all over the place. That's just the kingdom of God. That's the economy of God. And this is one of those cause and effect realities that we walk in. And that is that when we've truly received our new nature of love, when we are so supernaturally transformed and affected by God's love, the effect is we start showing that love, giving that love, overflowing that love to other people. Kind of like the Hulk, but love, not destroying things. I like that picture. Go back to it. It'll save you a lot of trouble. So we have the love of God. We can now love other people. We're called to it. We're compelled to do it. It's the new stuff that comes out of it. But you say, but Pastor, you don't understand. There are some people that are really hard to love, those EGR people, extra grace required people. They're out there, and we've run into them in our lives. Now, I want to share something with you. So I spent the week saying, okay, God, give me an example of somebody that's really done me really wrong, and that I've had to step into this new way of loving people. And I thought of some things, but frankly, they didn't come close to what I know many of you have had to deal with. Had people rip me off of a lot of money in business. Had people say some very cruel things to me and about me. We've had those things happen. But I know that there are people in this church family that have gone through a lot more than that. You've experienced a lot of pain and hurt and abuse, mistreatment by other people. And you understand those EGR people even more than I do. But here's the reality, is that God's love is more powerful than whatever's happened to us. It just is. It doesn't mean that what happened to us didn't happen. No, it happened. But whatever hole it created, whatever pain it caused, the love of God is greater. It is greater than every single one of those things. And it is able to heal those places in our hearts and heal those thoughts. God's love, as we let it be infused into our DNA and as we walk in that new nature, what a blessing we have from the love of God. It's not just a theory. It's real, and it has real effect on us. So we know it's impossible to love rightly and completely in our own strength. If you've tried to do that, you've failed. I know that because I've tried to do that, and I failed. We cannot love people rightly in our own strength, but we have to remember that we are no longer operating out of our own strength any longer, because we are new creations in Christ Jesus. All things have been made new. We have a supernatural strength and a supernatural love that is at work in us and through us now, to where everything has changed and we can do the impossible. We can love one another, even those that have hurt us. That's the assurance of love's effect. This is going to lead us into another effect of God's love. Ready for that? The third effect of God's love is we have a new joy. So effect number one, we have a new nature. Number two, we have new fruit. Number three, the effect of love is we have a new joy. And everyone said, praise God, I am ready for that. I want to pick up our study in verse 13. Let's roll here. Verse 13, we know, in other words, we have the assurance that we live in Him and He in us. Why? Because He has given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and we rely on the love that God has for us because God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment because in this world we are like him. There's a word that came up again in this passage. It was the word complete. We heard it a few verses earlier. Here we're hearing it again. The word complete. Love is made complete. Complete in us. The word complete means to go the greatest extent or to the greatest degree. You're like, yeah, I know that, Pastor. Well, this is what we do. We explain this thing, the obvious sometimes. The word complete, it means to finish making or to finish doing something. The word complete means total. And the word complete means becoming whole or perfect. And so what we're finding God speak over us is that his love, when it's made complete or perfect in us, will take us to another place, a completeness or a perfection of joy. And I want to show us this connection. The same person who wrote 1 John, this passage of scripture in 1 John 4 that we're reading, also wrote the Gospel of John. Remember, Angie got it confused when she sent her text and all that. But we're not confused. We're going to go back to the Gospel of John to understand what John is saying in his first letter here. So turn with me to John chapter 15, the Gospel of John chapter 15. And what we're going to discover here is we're going to see Jesus speaking of a completion. Just as was spoken of here in 1 John 4, speaking of a completion that is tied to love. The Gospel of John 15. Jesus says, I have told you this. Now, what he's saying, this is verse 11. So he's already been talking to his disciples. What's he been talking to his disciples about? About love. He's been talking to his disciples about the love of God and about how that so transforms them and about how they need to remain connected and grafted in to the love of God. And so he says, I've told you all of this about love. Why? So that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Whole. Perfect. Joy. Joy comes from love. That's what Jesus is saying. He's talking to us about love. God is talking to us about love. Because joy is made complete out of that place of love. Joy comes from love, and when we've received the completeness of love, then we enter into a joy that is made complete. And so if we're missing joy in our lives, it means that we've got to go back and we've got to rediscover the love of God. That's what it means. I want to be transparent with you all. Sometimes it gets me in trouble, but it's just who I am. So this week, I was talking with Velvet. We had lunch together and then took a little walk. And I said, honey, I am so sick and tired of the enemy robbing me, specifically robbing me of my joy. I'm so tired of it, ripping me off. Why so downcast, oh my soul? That's how I get to that place too often, of feeling down, not walking in joy, but just walking in burden and all kinds of messiness and junk. I'm sharing with Velvet, I'm just sick of it. And you'd think me just recognizing it would have fixed everything. I was still getting robbed of joy yesterday even. What do I do about that? Scripture's telling me here. You know, I get to preach to myself two times on Sunday and study this stuff and deal with it all week long, all right? And the Lord's speaking to me, and I believe he's speaking to some of you. Man, we got to get back to the love of God. We got to get back plugged into the love of God. We got to remain plugged in to God's love for us, the fullness, the completeness of the love that God has for us. We've got to let it continue to transform us. We've got to make sure it is our new nature and that we're walking in the love of God. We have to, because without that, we're not going to experience the completeness of joy. We may have moments of it, but there is a level of love and a level of joy that God has for us that we cannot even fathom. A completeness, a totality that God has for us that he has called us to walk in, and we find that in the love of God. That's where we find that, is in the love of God. We got to get in the presence of God to know his love. It's good to read about his love, But we got to take the reading about his love to drive us to the place of being with the one who loves us and letting him completely, wholly, and perfectly fill us and change us. That's how good God is. He wants us to be walking in this way. That's not what the world has for us. The world has anything but love and joy for us. But you see, God is so good that this is what he has for us. This is what he's designed for us. When we were fearfully and wonderfully made in our mother's wombs, it wasn't to be beat up and to be robbed and to be walking around hurt and broken all the time. We were fearfully and wonderfully made in our mother's womb to enjoy God and to know the completeness of his love and his joy. We got to fight back. No longer, as it says in John 10:10, no longer let the enemy rob, kill, and destroy, but walk in the life and the fullness of life that Christ gave us through the cross and his resurrection. So God's love makes us complete, and completeness in God brings joy. So I say, bring it on, God. That's what I want. I want the completeness. I want the completeness. Bring it on. Before we push forward, I want to look back at verses 16 and 17. That's back in 1 John 4. 1 John 4. Verses 16 and 17. And so we know and we rely on the love of God, because God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us. So that love is made complete among us. Why? So that we will have confidence or assurance and confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. God doesn't want us to be unaware of the future. There is a day coming. He is returning. There is a day of judgment. But God doesn't want us to be afraid of that day either. Rather, he wants us to look forward to the day that he's coming back. In fact, he even calls us to hasten the day. The Spirit and the bride, that's the church, say, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. We are ready for you to come back. And you say, why can you be so ready? Why can you be so excited? Because I understand that I have confidence in God when he returns, that I am saved, that I'm rescued, that I'm his. Why? Because I am walking in the completeness of his love. And God wants every one of us in this room to know that. To know the completeness of his love, so that we can look forward to him coming back and actually participate in his return, crying out to him saying, come, Lord Jesus. What a gift. This is where the love of God takes us, to this level of assurance and confidence, not in what we've done, but in who he is. And he is love. God is love. We can have joy living in the confidence that we're going to be saved on that judgment day. So bring it on. So the effect of love equals salvation. Put that up on the screen. The effect of love equals salvation. The effect of love also equals joy forevermore. And this new joy leads us right into the fourth effect of God's love. And that is effect number four. We have a new confidence, meaning we no longer fear. We no longer fear. It says in 1 John 4:18. Not the Gospel of John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And remember, we don't worry about punishment anymore because we're living in the love of God, right? Fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So I was reading this week, and I read this fact. On August 14th, 1941, FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, and Winston Churchill, they signed the Atlantic Charter. And in that charter, they stated that they wanted to provide the people with four basic freedoms. I was corrected by a friend of mine, John McCatton, after the last service. He said, Eric, I think it's eight. I Googled this, so Google must be right. I'm going to go with four. I'm sorry, John. He's probably right. Four basic freedoms that this Atlantic Charter, that these leaders in this world were going to assure the people of the world of. And among these four freedoms was the freedom from fear. We're going to guarantee the people of this world freedom from fear. And it was just four years later, that the first atomic bomb was dropped. And it ushered in this unprecedented era of fear and anxiety. Look, the efforts of men to provide freedom from fear, they're futile. they'll never work. Your effort to try to live a life free from fear and anxiety, to craft your life in just such a way to make enough money, to manage your life in such a way to where you don't have to worry about fear, it's futile. Futile. But God can provide us with this kind of freedom and this kind of confidence. God can provide us with a life where fear and anxiety no longer are our default. In fact, they no longer are around. But we're free from those things. We're free from those things. And the key to this freedom is love. It's the love of God. You know, in the Westminster Shorter Catechism, it says that the chief end of man, meaning why we're here, God's plan for our lives, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's why we exist. Why am I here? Why am I living? Why am I breathing? When we look at the totality of Scripture, what we find is this is the answer. We are here to glorify God because us breathing, us singing to Him this morning, us falling to our knees and crying out to Him, that glorifies Him. Us looking to Him for help, that brings Him glory. We exist to glorify God, but also to enjoy Him. And to enjoy Him now and forever, not just in the sweet by and by, but we are here and created with the ability through our renewed nature in Christ Jesus and because of the love of God, we are created to be able to actually enjoy God now and forever. Forever. The enemy, that's not his plan for you. So he uses things to rob you of the blessing of why you're here. And so what does he use? He uses fear. Fear keeps us from walking in our purposes and fulfilling God's plans. It does. Fear, it's going to keep us from glorifying God and it's going to keep us from enjoying God. Why? Because with fear, it always causes us to hold back. If we're walking in fear, we're holding back because we're worried. We're holding back. I was a high school basketball coach for several years. And if my team ever went out on the court fearful, it was a really bad night. We're going to play this other team. They're undefeated, and they got a 6'8 and a 6'9 guy. And how are we going to go up against these guys? They're so much bigger than us. They're so much faster than us. They're so much better than us. And they go out on the court, and yeah, they go out on the court in fear, and they're turning the ball over. They're missing every shot. Oh, boy, should I shoot? I don't know. I might get blocked. I don't know. They're operating in fear, and the results are horrible. God doesn't want us to lose. And He doesn't give trophies to the losers. We're playing basketball. And fear doesn't help us win. Fear is our worst enemy when we go out on the basketball court. And it's the same way in life. Fear is one of your worst enemies. When you live life, even in Christ, but you're living life with that fear, you're always holding back. You're always second guessing. You're never diving in fully, and so you're always experiencing less than. You're shooting short. Or you're turning the ball over. And that's not what God has for you. He wants you to walk in the confidence of His love so that wherever He places you, whatever door He opens, whatever room you walk into, you can walk in confidence, not in who you are and what you know and how smart you are, but you walk in confidence because Christ is in you and you're filled with His love. And you've got exactly what everybody needs. And God won't fail you. He won't fail you. So you go out on that court with confidence. And like I always told my players, you get an open shot, you take it. You got the green light. Open shot. You get the ball, open shot. Take the open shot. That's what the Lord wants to say to every one of us in here right now. There's some of you that are going, I don't know if I'm able, am I allowed to shoot that shot? I mean, I play, am I allowed to shoot that shot? I'm like, are you on my team? Do I have you on the court? Did someone pass you the ball? Are you open? Yeah. Not only are you allowed to take the shot, you're expected to take the shot. And if you don't, you're hurting the team. And some of you are living life in that way of you're thinking, okay, the ball has been thrown to me, but am I allowed to take the shot? Am I allowed to pray for somebody that way? Am I allowed to tell somebody about Jesus in this kind of environment? I don't know. And so you hold back out of fear and anxiety, and God has you right where He wants you. And He's thrown you the ball. Operate out of the love of God and not out of fear. We don't have to put up with that fear anymore. So the antidote to fear is perfect love. We could say the antidote to fear, the opposite of fear, is faith. And it can be, but where does faith come from? It comes from being secure and filled with the love of God. See, the opposite of fear is love. And the way we get fear out of our lives is we fill ourselves up with the love of God. We walk in the confidence of God's love. Then the enemy doesn't have any room to mess around with us with that thing called fear. As I conclude, we're going to go to 1 John 4. We're going to finish up with 19, 20, and 21. God says that we love because He first loved us. Now, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God, whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. We're not trying to manufacture anything here, folks. It's all about receiving and then just giving what we've received. We love because we've received the love of God. We give what we have freely been given. And that's God's love. Love, our new nature. Love is our new language. It's our new way of life. We have the assurance of love's effect. And what I want to do as your pastor this morning is to give you an opportunity to take a step into the love of God and away from the place of fear. I would imagine most of us in this room are dealing with something in our life, some area of fear in our life, something that is holding us back, something that's causing us to hold back and not dive in completely. We can lay that aside right now. We can walk away from that fear right now, and we can walk into the fullness of God's love. We can exchange that fear for love right now. And so what we're going to do is we're going to give ourselves that opportunity to do that. As the band plays and just sings this song about the love of God, we're going to come up front here and we're going to exchange fear for love. You think, well, why do I have to do that? I can just do that at my seat. You can do that at your seat. You can kind of hold back and sit on the bench. Or we can say, you know what? I trust God enough and I want what God has enough that I'm going to step into what God has for me. I want to encourage us to do that with all areas of our lives, to go for it, to go for it, to step into it. It was given earlier in the first service about how we have not because we ask not, but if we knock, the door will be open to us. I want us to knock on the door. In fact, God is inviting us to knock on His door right now because He has love to give us. And He will take that fear and He will sweep it away. So even now, as the band begins to sing and play, I want to invite you to come forward and just kneel at the foot of the cross right here in the front and give your fear and anxiety to the Lord and receive His love afresh and anew today.